In defending his position, Vice President Cheney says he wants to stop the decline of the power of the presidency that's taken place, he says, over the last 35 years or so. Well, that would take us back to the presidencies of Lyndon Johnson and Richard Nixon. Is the presidency today really weaker than it was then? We've asked law professor Cass Sunstein of the University of Chicago, who was at the Justice Department under Presidents Carter and Reagan and worked there on executive privilege. Professor Sunstein, first, generally, do you think George W. Bush is a president significantly more hemmed in by Congress and the courts than presidents 30, 40 years ago?
Not generally. The presidency now is in very good shape. After President Reagan, the presidency is very, very strong indeed. The president has a lot of authority over all these administrative agencies that help and harass us. I think what the vice president is referring to is some decisions that Congress made, including the War Powers Act, which hems in the president maybe a little bit, the Impoundment Control Act, which hems in the president a bit, though not in the way that was really surprising. It just says the president can't impound funds that Congress has appropriated, and also a couple of court decisions in the context of the Clinton scandal, which limited presidential power compared to what presidents would like to have.
A president, for example, may be the defendant in a civil suit while he is in office and have to defend himself, and his Secret Service detail may have to be questioned in depositions.
Right. Now, neither of those decisions, the ones that President Clinton lost, were big surprises. So it's not like that President Clinton lost something that President Reagan or President Johnson had. It's just the law was clarified by those cases.
This case involves not the president, but the vice president. Is there much of a history of executive privilege invoked by vice presidents of the United States?
The Supreme Court has never passed on this, and it hasn't gotten high-level attention, the question whether the vice president can assert executive privilege, and if so, under what circumstances. The only big Supreme Court case involved President Nixon, and the court was careful to say it was talking about the president who's in charge of the executive branch and not about anybody else. So we're dealing here with a pretty blank slate.
But would it matter, for example, that the job that Vice President Cheney had been assigned by President Bush is not one of those functions spelled out in the Constitution and therefore might be seen as something other than being Vice President of the United States?
It might matter. I hope it won't. I hope that courts won't say that the Vice President can assert executive privilege only insofar as he's exercising constitutionally specified functions. Because in the modern era, the vice president is asked by the president to do a ton of really important things. Think not just of Vice President Cheney, but of Vice President Gore, who are really high-level policymakers. And it's likely that a court would say whenever the vice president is doing something that involves high-level policy at the request of the president, there's at least a presumption that the newspapers can't get a hold of the contents of the conversation.
You mentioned a couple of decisions from 30, 40 years ago about war powers, about impoundment. The case that I think we remember, those of us who were around then remember the best, was the Nixon tapes case, in which President Nixon made arguments that are echoed today by the vice president. You won't be able to speak candidly in the Oval Office, I recall him saying, if it's known that somebody then can subpoena the tapes and listen to them afterwards. How valid is that argument, that if the president and vice president can't have candid conversations with people, we are all at a loss?
The underlying concern, which is you can't talk candidly unless you have confidentiality, is reasonable, and the Supreme Court has recognized it. The problems for the vice president in this lawsuit, if it becomes one, are first, the Supreme Court has not extended executive privilege to the vice president, though it might well, and second, these are not internal executive branch communications, as were involved in the Nixon case. They're just communications with people in the private sector, and it's not clear that executive privilege would apply to that.
Well, Professor Sunstein, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Cass Sunstein, Professor of Law at the University of Chicago.